freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
I would put very little stock in what Brock here has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
He did it!
Man, a lot of people with polarizing, divergent feelings on Limp Bizkit and Faith. If there's one thing I've learned today, Brock, it's that if you want to polarize an audience, you just got to play some Limp Bizkit.
Who is Limp Bizkit?
Well, they're pretty much responsible for the end of rock and roll.
Are they
really?
You don't need,
it's not important.
It's their fault that rock came to a crashing halt right around.
You really point the finger at them. All right.
I mean, them and Korn and sort of like the rest of the groups of that era. Like, they were sort of the last bastion of rock. And unfortunately, after that, there was nothing else. So don't you have to eventually
blame
them?
It is kind of interesting, isn't it? And you love this Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you just loved it as much as anything here lately, Saul. Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro corner down in Jacksonville, suspended for the week for taking some shots at somebody in the media down there, Coughlin and the old school crew saying, we're not doing it this way. We're not going to be the Seattle Seahawks. We're not going to give these guys these individual freedoms and powers. We're going to suspend him for a week. So he's down in Jacksonville as his team's practicing elsewhere and everything else. Well, Esquire or GQ? Big magazine piece comes out with Jalen Ramsey, and he just player by player, quarterback by quarterback, takes apart a ton of them in the league. And yeah, music and sports radio, or music and sports, right, are the two things that seem to be and drive a lot of opinion. You know, you can bring up like 10 bands, and people say, oh, horrible. You know, just like Jalen did with all these QBs. Oh, he's horrible. Oh, that's good. That's all right. That's terrible. That sucks. He can't play. You know, it's funny how music and sports are two areas that drive a whole lot of opinions, certainly with our listenership.
There's no doubt. You should see the text on Limp Bizkit. That is not rock. Yeah, that music is trash. That's so true. Limp Bizkit is awesome. Like, it's just, they are, as I said, very, very polarizing. Their first album was legit. Everything past that was garbage. You think rock is dead? All right, you know what? I'm going to get out of this business. I should not.
I mean, haven't you heard Imagine Dragons, Salt?
Yeah, you're right. Rock is alive and thriving.
Welcome to the new age.
Welcome to the new age. If Patrick Reed likes it, then I'm sure it's doing just fine. Wasn't that Nick Faldo? Wasn't that Nick's famous line in the golf tournament? But he's talking about Patrick Reed, right? Because Patrick Reed really liked him. My kids like Imagine Dragons, man. They'll play that Thunder song like a million times in a row. There's
Imagine Dragons will say, welcome to the new age. To the new age.
To the new age.
All people, Nick Faldo. Oh, that's beautiful.
He did it pretty well. Else, I mean, you know, Faldo played up to who he was and who he was talking about. Have you read some of these quotes from Jalen Ramsey?
I did. I appreciate you sending that to me. It really is.
It was Kyle, but anyway, here's a few. Here's a few of his thoughts. He was asked to comment on most of the quarterbacks in the game right now.
Okay,
and we've had some of these conversations with Michael Bennett, right? You remember Bennett kind of making fun of Kirk Cousins and a couple other guys.
Sam Bradford,
yes. Right? Marcus Mariota says he's great for the Titans. Josh Allen, I don't care what nobody says, he's trash.
He's played one preseason game.
But he comes from like a D2 school, so he doesn't care for him.
Hey,
watch out. The Wyoming's about to beat the Cougs in like 2 weeks.
The Cougs got to go to Laramie. Walks into Laramie and out of there with a win, Saul.
Tyrod Taylor, actually a better quarterback than he gets credit for because he doesn't make mistakes. I would agree with that. Jimmy Garoppolo, not sure I'm sold on the hype yet. Deshaun Watson, league MVP in a couple years. Carson Wentz says he and Watson will be battling for that MVP. Derek Carr is good. Eli Manning, it's not really Eli. I think it's Odell. I won't say Eli's good. I'll say Odell's good, and their connection is good.
Yes.
So what does he say about Russell Wilson? Positive or negative? Good. Good leader, too. Interesting, considering that seems to be the thing he gets dinged for recently.
Yeah, certainly from internally, that opinion seems to be very different than externally. And even those guys that come into this team externally, Brandon Marshall, so many of them, young guys, rave about what Russell is and what he means to this team.
Don't tell him about Andrew Luck. I don't really think he's that good, Ryan Tannehill, I don't know much about him. Now, is this an insult or a compliment about Matthew Stafford? He do what he got to do.
I don't know.
You think that's negative?
Not a ringing endorsement.
I don't know, but I don't think it's negative either.
He could be good, but he just does what the Lions ask him to do.
He does what he's got to do.
He plays for the Lions, unfortunately.
And then as for Matt Ryan, he's overrated. And Joe Flacco, he sucks. I played him 2 years in a row. He sucks. as clear and simple as it could possibly be.
I did like the Big Ben. He disappointed me.
Yes.
Like, that's one of my favorite lines.
He thought Ben would be better?
Yeah. He really disappointed me.
Yeah. Well, that's sad.
He's decent. It's not Big Ben. It's Antonio Brown. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time. He just slings
Wasn't
it.
Wasn't Ben, like,
his receivers go get
good
it.
Before Antonio Brown?
I played him twice last year. He just really disappointed me. Why did he disappoint? He threw it to you five times. Yeah. You guys picked him off five times. You should have been thrilled.
Who knows?
You anyway. Like that? You like the? Would you like that out of your corner? You like that swag?
I like the swag.
You like that bravado? You like that? Does it not remind you of Richard Sherman back in the day calling out other corners, calling out media members, calling out just like having that? We talked about it earlier with Frank. You know, just having some of that edge,
that
volatility.
If you win, it works.
Mm-hmm.
If you win, it works. It's probably going to have a shelf life, which is what I think we witnessed here.
Yep.
But if you win, it works. And I guess that's why I am so interested in talking to Frank Clark, because I'm curious who he's going to be. Like, what does he develop into? What kind of personality does he end up as this is all said and done, and as we move forward and a new group of guys comes in? I think the evolution of Frank Clark is an interesting one. I know there are people who are saying I torched him a little while ago. I didn't. That is not a rip job of Frank Clark at all. Not in my mind. Maybe you hear it that way, and I apologize if you do. I'm not trying to rip the guy. I'm saying that I'm curious to see where his story goes and whether or not he figures it out this year, because I think the way he acts will have a profound effect on his future.
Well, and I would take that a step further. I think this organization here behind us is also trying to figure that out. You know, there is no question about his physical talent. They're just not in this league. He is an immensely gifted and talented player.
Absolutely.
It's a matter now, and especially coming off this last cycle of players, is, hey, man, who you decide to sink that money into is going to empower that locker room. It's going to, you know, take the course. The guys that get paid the biggest, and we saw it over, you know, the years here, the last three, four years, the guys that they all repay, they're going to naturally have the loudest voice, the loudest command, going to really kind of direct the ship. And are they willing to sink the kind of cost you have to for that talent?
Because thus far they haven't.
Yeah, thus far they haven't. And thus far, I think rightfully so, and I'm right there next to him. Hey, go on and do it again, man. You've got 22 sacks in 3 years. That's awesome. You had 9 last year, right? You've shown that, you know, when the engine just revs, and it revs most of the time, that you can be unblockable. Well, now guess what you get this year, Frank? You get your job's going to be harder. There's going to be no Bennett. There's going to be no Clark. There's going to be no other, you know, person right now coming into the season that's got to be double-teamed on our line.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a big old marker every single week on you, number 55. Where is he? We're going to slide to him.
Deion Jordan's,
we're going to chip to him. We're going to, you know, if anybody's going to get extra help, that center that's uncovered versus this scheme. If there's ever a time that anybody is going to get an extra looky loo, it's going to be on Frank Clark.
Yeah.
And to show that, you know, you can be that productive with the kind of emphasis I really think he's going to get this year from the opposing teams will also be a good challenge and another tell for this organization of whether they want to give him the immense amount of loot that money or that position commands.
It's clear that this has been a difficult one for John Schneider as well, in that it's not done yet, right? I mean, he's trying to figure out that same question in terms of, you know, who is he going to be both on and off the field, and what will he be if and when you decide to pay him big money?
Yep. And ultimately, there is big money that ultimately I think Frank's people, and rightfully so, that you come out here at practice and you look at this D-line without Frank Clark, and especially now without Deion. You know, you got Marcus Smith, you got Brandon Jackson, you got Quentin Jefferson, you got some guy, Barkevious Mingo, that'll roll through there, you know, but finding consistent.
But those guys don't have Frank Clark's talent.
No, they don't.
It's not close.
No. And
I mean,
they're all a little bit different.
He is so much more talented than any of those guys.
Yeah, Deion Jordan has got a lot of
physical
talent.
Yes, he's the one,
talent.
But he can't stay on the field.
No, he can't.
I mean, I love Deion Jordan. I mean, I'm as bummed of everything that's happened at camp this year. The one thing that bums me out the most is Deion Jordan being unable to go.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm fascinated by him. I mean, he looks the part. I've spent like 2 seconds talking to him, but by all accounts, this guy who's really cleaned up his life and figured it all out and has really kind of moved forward in the perfect way. And unfortunately, he just can't get out on the field. And it's such a shame, because he's
6'7", he's 280 pounds.
He was dominant when he played.
Monster. He had 4 sacks last year in, what, some 65 snaps?
Dude. Yeah. He was a yep. dominant player when he played last year.
Yep.
And the question is whether or not they can get him out on the field and actually, you know, have him play this year and contribute in the same way. Because if he does, yep. he is a dominant defensive end in the NFL.
Yep. So it will, I think, continue to be a storyline. I'm going to guess that the team has said to Frank Clark and his representatives what they've said to Earl Thomas, that at this kind of juncture of where we're at in the turn of this roster and everything else, we're just not going to commit those kind of dollars. Earl, we're not going to commit more dollars to you. There's $8.5 million for you to be made this year. You've already lost about $1 million plus of that. And for Frank, you're going to play out your fourth year here. And like DeMarcus Lawrence down in Dallas, you have every opportunity. Mm. You blow this thing up and you get 10, 12, 15 sacks, you're going to make $1 million plus for every one of those sacks next season somewhere.
What was the story with Lawrence? How did that go?
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence, I think there's some similarity there as far as just kind of inconsistency. Now, DeMarcus, I think, got even more trouble off the field and suspensions from the league and everything else. And he, too, very, very volatile. But I would actually compare their skill sets very much. He is a dominant, explosive guy. And then last year, he gets big-time sack numbers, and Dallas franchises him. You know, and Dallas is kind of cap-wise pressed up against it as well. And they said, no, we're not going to give you a long-term deal, maybe for the same reasons. The Jerry's crew is like, yeah, I'd kind of rather have you incentive-laden than give you $40 million guaranteed, and we'll see what happens. I kind of like you to keep earning it, man. In that position, in that D-line, as much as anywhere perennially, Mike, in the NFL, way back to my years, you want guys at that position so hungry, right, to continue to be so incentivized to get their sacks and get their numbers to get their pay.
That's half of it, Brock. But the other half, and this is where I think it's unfair to Frank, is that we know, because we've talked about this a million times, that the defensive ends have the most success when they are rotated through, when they have help.
Yep.
We know that the reason that Seahawks team in 2013 did what it could do is because they could rotate through with Chris Clemons and Red Bryant and Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill,
yep.
and Bruce Irvin, and nobody got exhausted. Nobody had to play 80% of the plays. What happened last year when Michael Bennett was in there for 80% of the plays? Nothing good.
The last 2 years.
Right. Yeah. Nothing good happens when nope. they're in there for that long.
No matter how good you are.
That's
no matter
right.
how gifted you are.
The days of that are over. And you know, we've found that as football players, they are better when they play
yep.
50, 60% of the snaps, especially at that position, because defensive linemen just don't seem to be yeah. able to go 100%.
No, I don't think there's any question.
And you'd rather have three guys rotating through two spots
yep.
going 100% or close to it on every play as opposed to taking plays off and going 50% sometimes just yes. to kind of go through the motions, play patty cake.
Yeah, very well said.
And that's not going to help Frank this year. They don't have the depth to try to give him those snaps off.
Nope. And those percentages were pretty clear. And Michael Bennett and crew talked about it, that when he could play into the 50% of the snaps, you're looking at 100% of maximum effort. The Philadelphia Eagles took that blueprint last year all the way to a world championship. You know, and we've seen that. And the New York Giants did it. And, you know, all the teams that find enough depth that you can never, kind of like a pitching staff in a rotation in baseball, Mike, you can never have. There's not one team in the NFL, I can assure you, that if we were doing talk radio in all the 31 other markets, there's not one market that says, oh, yeah, man, we're good. We're good on pass rush. We're totally loaded. We don't need anything, and we are all set on that one. Everybody could always, like pitching, always use a little bit more, need a little bit more, and that is absolutely the biggest watch for me over the next couple weeks with this team, with Mingo, with KJ, with Brandon, with Quentin, with Marcus, with Josh Ford, with all of these guys, even, you know, Walden, who they sign off the streets yesterday. All of these guys are going to have to, someone's going to have to pop and emerge. And you know what? There could still very much be a trade in hand over the next couple weeks, you know, with the possibility of someone they like out there.
All that being said, if Deion Jordan could just get healthy, right? I mean, he does all of that, right? I mean, you can say all of those things, but if Deion Jordan's healthy, he does all of that.
Well, he does. He gives you, at least as a starting unit, Deion and Frank, and then behind him you have Rasheem, and maybe it ends up being Mingo or Martin, and all of a sudden, you know, yeah, you feel, yes, you feel much better about having a significant cog in there that's got all the talent in the world, just unfortunately not the availability or the consistency.
All right. Any sign of Frank yet?
No sign of Frank yet.
So we'll move on, and if Frank shows up, maybe we'll talk to him. In the meantime, let's chat a little Mariners after a game last night yesterday afternoon, that will surprise you in a million different ways, Brock. How do you walk Mike Zunino and then give up a home run to D. Gordon? Like,
yeah.
Is there a Vegas parlay on that? And what does it pay out if you have it?
You're telling me that you really had faith, by the way. You're telling me that you're telling me that over the course of that game, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, a couple opportunities, 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position, you're telling me that you just had enough faith that you said, you know what, once they get to Petit or Pettit or whatever that slappy is after Familia, after Rodney, after Trevino, after those guys, that, certainly this thing is going to turn now because we burned through the other guys to get to, you know, somebody that this offense could take advantage of. Is that what you're telling me, that you had the faith that it just had to happen?
Of course I did. Did you smear a Petit pitch here, or was he just an angel? I know he's been around the AL West before. I can't remember whether he was a Mariner briefly or whether he was just an angel. Maybe later. How do you
No, we gave them a couple other guys in their bullpen.
Obviously, I know Pagan, but I thought Petit was here quite some time ago.
Who
the heck remembers? Yeah. He's just a guy.
Just an angel.
All right, he's just a guy, though. And you found someone in that bullpen who was just a guy to get to eventually in the 12th inning. And you survived. I mean, like, there was a lot of... There's a lot of touch and go moments in a game like that. Pazos comes in, immediately loses his stuff, right?
Yep.
He's throwing fastball away. Can't, you know, it looked like when Diaz does the thing where the ball just kind of sails on him.
Yep.
He just wasn't able to get on top of it. And then all of a sudden he locks it in against Chris Davis, who's been a Mariner killer, and finds a way to get the huge strikeout to end the 11th.
Yes.
I mean, Nick Vincent, who has not been... He's had a bad year. As much as I really like Nick Vincent, he's had a bad year, and yet there he is. He gets you out. It was at the 9th or the 10th that he got you out of with the huge strikeout with a couple of guys on. I mean, everyone kind of did their part. You know, you're moving guys around like it's a National League game where D. Gordon starts in center, goes to second, Cano moves from second to first, and then he's out for a chip. Yeah. I mean, like, they did and played everything they could. They threw all of their might
at
winning that game yesterday, and if they hadn't won it, that's just demoralizing. And instead, you find a way with a D. Gordon home run, which is about as surprising an outcome as you're going to find on a baseball field, to win an enormous ballgame.
Petit, his first pitch. Swung on it. Club high and deep to right field. Back on it, Piscotty. He looks up. It is gone! D. Gordon, a two-run home run, has broken the scoreless tie here in the 12th inning.
Come on, man. Of all of the improbable endings that you're going to write in that sucker, right? Of every way that game could twist and turn. And yes, I'll own it. I said rest in peace. I thought for sure when Nelly got out of that, unfortunately, just couldn't happen with you know, a runner third and less than two outs, and he struck out, and then you get out of that inning. And that, with Familia in Oakland's bullpen against yours, and the way that those guys hit with any swing of the bat. And by the way, nearly happened with their first baseman taking it halfway up the wall in right field off Mr. Duke, but it didn't happen. And that ball stayed in the yard, and the Mariners made their breaks and made the improbable happen there at the end. That D. Gordon delivers and comes through with the home run, his second of the year. That could not have been better time for the Mariners to get out of there and salvage a series with a win.
And yet, you talk to Scott Servais afterwards, and he's not doing cartwheels.
Well, I don't think I'm putting too much emphasis on it, but Oakland's playing very good. You know, they got a good thing going. They won a lot of games late, so it's nice to get one from them late in their ballpark.
Well, the Mariners get them late. Get to extra innings.
Scott.
11-1?
Scott, you have to have that game. Let's just hold on. Scott, I appreciate what you're saying.
Mike,
I understand that you keep an even keel.
So be careful about doing this, all
Scott,
right?
Will I
you
love
please
you.
Be careful? You know what's going to happen.
I appreciate
you're
show the
your
even
face.
Keel.
You're going to show your face at the ballpark here, and he's going to call
gonna
you
yell
out.
At me
yes, he is. You
know, what did he yell at me about the last time?
I don't
something
know.
With Zunino,
but he's going to yell at you. Frank's going to yell at you. People are going to start yelling at you again.
Scott, I love you, and I think you're doing a great job as a manager of the Mariners, and I appreciate your desire to keep things even keeled. But they had to have that win yesterday. Like, that was one that you just kind of had to have. Getting swept in Oakland, I think, really would have been a challenge for this team. And instead, they find a way out of it. And again, I honestly, he gets a lot of... I think Servais gets more grief than he deserves in this town. I really do. I mean, maybe it's just the advent of Twitter and everything that it's wrought upon us.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of criticism of his moves and the things he does in the bullpen that generally... I disagree with the criticism. I think he's done a pretty good job. I thought he did a great job yesterday. He found a way to manage his way through all these different things and keep his team there. And what happens at the very end? He put D. Gordon in a position to hit a home run in the 12th inning with Mike Zunino on base. I mean, that's just great managing, right?
Yeah, right. No, I think that's fair.
Brock.
And he doesn't mind wearing the criticism either.
Oh, dude, he knew. He knew it was going to be a home run.
I did. You know, the way the ball's carrying here in the day to right field and right away, you know, before it, did I think he was going to hit a home run? No. But when I came off the bat, I knew I had a good chance. You know, see, he hit that ball. I can't remember what inning it was. It carried out there, and see, he didn't really hit that ball that good. So the ball always carries here during the day and certainly to right field.
Oh, okay. So he didn't know it beforehand. He only knew after it had left.
Hey, Howdy, does Zunino score from first if that ball, like, ricochet? How far did that ball have to ricochet off the wall if there was not a home run?
No.
Like, off the wall, and then someone maybe kicked it, and then they picked it up, and it fell through their glove.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That wasn't happening, though.
I don't know.
So, thankfully, it scraped right over the wall for the dinger.
I mean, maybe if D had been on first and Zunino hit the double, maybe it goes that way. Yeah. But not.
It was improbable. There is no question. And these teams have played, you know, so let's just chalk it up right now. All right. The final seven games that these two teams are going to play are more than likely going to come down to one or two runs. I mean, that's what every one of them in this series, that's largely the nine that preceded it. Nearly every one of those came down to one-run games. And, you know, I think because of that, Mike, it's been hard for maybe me and certainly for Howdy to just go crown the Oakland A's. Like, are they that much better than you? Tom Wassel yesterday said that he'd take the Mariners lineup over Oakland's. Right? And you look at the starting pitchers and what Mike Leake did again yesterday and Wade LeBlanc and Marco Season and Paxton stuff still. And it's not like the starters you take Oakland's in a runaway either. Mm-hmm. So from a roster standpoint, you know, it's probably, yeah, about square. And that's why so many of these games have been close and why it's going to be both terrifying and incredible over the month of September as these two teams play seven more times to decide it.
Yeah, I think that Oakland lineup's better than you guys do. I think their pitching staff's better than you guys do. I think that's a really good Oakland ball club. I really do.
And yet Mike Leake shuts them down. They don't score for 12 innings. They score one.
I didn't say they were a perfect team. They're not going to go 162-0, but I think you got to see over this week that they're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they've got,
they're a really good ball club.
Yes, I said
lineup-wise. There's a couple of guys in that lineup that'll really burn you. And Chapman, I mean, they don't have a clue how to get Chapman out. They don't have a clue how to get Lowry out.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Leake did yesterday. Thankfully, Brock, Chris Davis did nothing in this series because he's been a giant Mariner killer over the years.
He got ripped them Band-Aids off.
You think the Band-Aids were the problem?
Band-Aids are a problem.
That may have been an issue.
And his weird Jeff Hornacek, like, pre-shot, pre-swing routine thing is just
say what you
weird.
Want. That guy has destroyed this team in the past. And thankfully, you know, you sneak. Didn't you just assume he would be the one to beat you yesterday? I did.
Oh, when I said RIP?
Yeah, when you said RIP and embarrassed yourself. Yes. I just figured, you know what? They've held Chris Davis down for three games. Why wouldn't he hit a walk-off home run to just end this thing and embarrass everybody? But instead, they found a way, man, and got to give them credit. To Pazos, to Vincent, to Diaz, to Leake, obviously, with the eight innings. I mean, everybody who came in and helped make that possible yesterday, and the pitching staff, and just paving the way for the for this, you know, an average,
man,
everyday
Leake was awesome.
D. Gordon home run.
That's right.
For the winner.
Sure.
Hey, Robbie finally played. He's been in there for two games. We spent a lot of time leading up to Cano's return. Kind of curious where you're at now that he's back. I know where I am. I want to hear from you next, Brock. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Sad news today. Aretha Franklin passes away, I believe, the age of 74, if I have that correct. 76?
76.
Excuse me, 76 years old. Aretha Franklin passed away early this morning. I think she's been sick for a little bit, so she passed away today. Brock, we got a lot going on between Seahawks, obviously, and Mariners and their big win yesterday. When I left you, because I wasn't in yesterday, when I left you last, we were getting ready for the debut of Robinson Cano.
Yep.
And since then, he's played in two games, started at first base and batted second, then yesterday he played in second base.
Mm-hmm. Three hits, right? Three hits, all the other way. Or one up the middle and one down the line and one to the left center field gap, all singles. But you know, I said to Tom yesterday, that game number one, he sure looked smooth. I mean, he sure looked like he didn't miss a beat. That he did go home, as he said, to the Dominican and have a few friends to throw 90-plus and got some of his reps and got some of his work. That's kind of a nice thing to have, isn't it?
Friends who throw 90-plus?
Yeah,
I would like some friends who throw in the 90s.
My own little ballpark, my own little facility down there in the DR. And yeah,
that's, I got, like my buddies I went to Vegas with, three of them throw 90 plus.
Do
go
they really?
Yeah, just go figure.
Wow.
Just got a bunch of friends who throw 90 plus.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so I think from a baseball perspective, it felt borderline seamless. Like, he just didn't miss a beat. I mean, he played first base, played it very competently and confidently, and in the batter's box, like, yeah, that's Robbie Cano. He kind of looks the part.
His swing is still so smooth, man. His swing is still as smooth as anyone's in the game. And watching him and his just go the other way calmly, yep, little flick of the wrists, and all of a sudden the ball's in left center field. Like, he just, when you see him back out there, he really has had a smooth swing. That being said, I've been kind of surprised at how little I've noticed him. Does that make sense? And that's not a negative or a positive. I haven't really noticed him. He's just
sort
of been there.
Did you notice the Oakland fans, all 17,000 of them, chanting steroids? Did you notice that in the broadcast?
Barely.
Yesterday?
You can barely hear it over the sound of the drums. So,
or the loudspeaker.
The nine people chanting steroids, which, by the way, is Rich, while Juris Familia is on the mound, who's also suspended for roids. Like, okay, yeah. By all means, chant away, because you're mad at Robinson Cano.
Yeah.
And maybe you're getting under his skin, maybe not. I don't know. I found that I didn't really, like, he's played fine in the field, but he hasn't had any great chances to do anything. He's just kind of been there.
That's right. Yeah, certainly in the field defensively. He was not at first. I don't know if he makes the play that Healy does yesterday, frankly. Right in the foul ball territory, Healy makes a great play over his shoulder and running through it and making that catch. I don't know if Robbie is going to make that play at first base yesterday, but everything else is just totally, you know, and maybe that's a good thing, right, that you haven't necessarily noticed him. After 80 games, he just comes right in. It's like, yeah, I know how to play this game at a super high level, and don't you worry about me. I'll go get it done. I will say this, and I'll be kind of curious in why it was so improbable yesterday that, of all people, it was D. Gordon hitting a home run. That this offense, you know, when you compare these two, and Houston, who you're going to continue to see, and Oakland, who you're chasing now, both of those, you're going to need a little more pop out of your offense.
Yeah.
You're going to need a little, you're just going to need somebody that can get, when a couple people are on base, it just hits that three-run home run, someone not named.
And I'm not expecting him to have done that in the first two games.
Nope.
But I think just seeing him back in there. Right.
You don't get it from Heredia. You know, you don't necessarily get that from Denard. You know, Segura's contact numbers way up, his singles and his hits phenomenal, but the power numbers are down.
Yep.
Zunino closes his eyes, and sometimes it goes out of the yard, and sometimes it doesn't.
Haniger's turned himself into a doubles hitter.
Haniger's a doubles guy. You know, I think he's hit, what, one home run in the last month and a half?
But
so
he hits doubles.
He sure does.
Lots of doubles.
So you're going to need a little, you know, you're going to need a little of that electricity here. And that I will be very curious if that comes. That was not necessarily on display in April and May either. I mean, Robbie had four home runs, you know, his first start of this thing. So does any of that come back? Because, man alive, would that be, especially if he's going to play first without Healy, that would be a welcome sight.
How did you feel seeing him?
Yeah, I'm glad it was on the road. I'll say that. I'm glad. I was not mad. I was not angry. I certainly was not going to boo. But I was kind of glad that it was out on the road, that he could kind of, and the team and everybody could process it. You know, that you hear it said, especially in football, that bunker mentality.
Yeah.
Heck, you've heard Service say it. You know, their road trips and the time and the bonding time that brings people together. And the fact, Mike, that if they were at home, would all the guys been in the press conference there? Maybe. Maybe they would have, timing-wise, but maybe not. But taking the bus over and being together and being able to really kind of show that display of, I got your back, man, and then to have to deal with some of the boos and some of the opposing crowd that just brings your own group and your own team together.
How did you feel watching it?
Yeah, I was not very torn. Yeah, I was not very torn. I was not very mad.
You were just fine with it.
Yeah, I think if I had to answer a question
it's
of
what. It's so funny, man. If I could go back, Brock, if I could go back 8 years, 9 years to the very beginning of this show, when you and I first met, we started doing shows together.
Right.
And I was sitting there saying, I just don't care about steroid use. Like, whatever. It's not a big deal to me. I like watching home runs. Let the guys hit home runs. What do I care if you use steroids?
Yes.
And you were furious at me, man. You could not understand it. You were right there with the guy who called in and told me it was about correctness.
And it still is.
And yet you don't seem you're not in any way bothered.
He paid 80 games, Salk. If he was a known cheater,
but he didn't
getting
pay
away
that
with
to
it,
you.
He paid it to the team.
But he didn't pay it to you. Yeah, he I'm surprised that you don't feel that. I'm surprised that you let it go that quick.
He paid an 80 game and lost $12 million. Yeah. And you know what else? He lost it on his reputation. If it was, steroids, not a big deal. He's still going to be a Hall of Famer. He doesn't lose any credit. He didn't have to carry any of that burden. I would say to you, that's wrong, man. Yeah. You're cheated. You cheated the game. But the fact that I think he, and I'm not trying to like defend myself.
No,
or say
it's fine.
I haven't
because, Brock,
or
I think you and I feel sort of the same way, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just curious how that evolved.
Yeah, I think that would be it. It's like he didn't get away with it. It's going to stain him, unfortunately, and he's going to have to carry that with him moving forward. And, oh, by the way, he also lost $12 million in 80 games this season. He didn't lose 5 games. He didn't lose a week. He didn't lose 40 games when he was injured anyway. He had to pay a significant penalty to his reputation, his career, and to his team.
It's interesting. I have found myself really – the thing that has found me – the only part of it, really, that has me torn – has been the glorification of his return.
Yes.
And by the way, we participated in it as well. This is not like, I'm mad at other people.
Boy, by the way, your boy Tommy yesterday.
Yeah, I'm with Tom on this. Awesome. when I turned on the game on 2 nights ago.
Right.
And it was, "Welcome back, Robbie Cano." I was like,
yeah.
I don't really want to give him hero's welcome.
Nope.
It doesn't feel right.
No.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm on that page as well. Yeah, that was not a glorification of. But it's also a hey, you paid your penalty, man. You served your time.
And if that was all it was, Brock. Yes. If he just came back and the conversation was Robinson Cano made a huge mistake. He's paid his debt and now he's back.
Yep.
Okay, fine.
Yep.
I think where I start to that's how I felt. I was with you. I'm right there feeling like, all right, yeah, good. I'm glad to see Robbie back. They need him. I'm not mad about steroid. What do I care? Like, okay, let's go. And then when it's like, the return of Robinson Cano, I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
Just spare me that. We can be happy he's back. I don't need to celebrate his return. Mm. He's not coming back from an injured quad. He's not coming back from, like, Ted Williams fighting a war. He's coming back from getting busted for roids.
Yeah.
But
come
also
on.
Differentiating the fact that there is a difference. You could be excited that the team is better than it was yesterday.
But that's
the
not team, what was being celebrated.
Sure.
Is not what I watched when I turned on Root the other day.
Because there's
I saw welcome back Robbie
Because
Cano.
There's not an easy way to say that, right?
Then maybe
hey,
don't
welcome.
Say anything at all.
The team is better than it was yesterday.
Then maybe don't say anything at all. Because honestly, it rubs me the wrong, and I don't think I'm alone, to be rubbed the wrong way by a glorification of his return. I'm happy he's back. I welcome him back with open arms. I'm not mad at Robinson Cano. He doesn't deserve any further punishment. I don't even need to boo him.
Yep.
But don't glorify it. That doesn't feel right, man. He's not.
Did you just drop another Journey song, by the way?
What?
Open Arms?
Open Arms. There you go,
man.
Maybe.
Started with Faithfully.
It's a big
now
journey
to Open Arms. Nice.
It's a big, big journey day. Dan's in Seattle. Wants to talk some Mariners. Dan, quickly, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys? I love your show.
Thanks, bud.
You know, the only disappointment to me has been Seager. He's not a clutch hitter. His OPS, I think, now is the lowest of all third basemen in the major leagues. And if anybody needed to give some pop, and if I see him in a position where there's a guy in first and third and see him get into a double play again, I swear to God, that's the most frustrating thing to me on this team is his inconsistency, is an inability to perform in the clutch. That's what's bothered me.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir right there. Yeah.
I like how you said that, Brock.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask you this. Thank you, David, for the phone call. Right now, Salk, game on the line. Okay? It's going to be Oakland. It's going to be September. It's going to be at home. Game on the line. Who do you want up to bat? Runner on third, less than two outs. You pick the situation. Second and third, two outs. You pick whatever situation, and you're going to need that
right,
hit
right
against
or lefty
Familia.
On the
you're going to need that hit against somebody in Oakland's either both Oakland's bullpen.
I get anybody on the team.
Anybody on the team. Who do
I'll
you want?
I'll take Segura first, Haniger second.
Yeah.
Cano third, and then Cruz.
I think it may ultimately turn into Cano here by the mid
of
September.
It will. Brock, the only way this season can end is game 162. Get a hit and you make the playoffs. Don't and you won't. Yes. And it's going to come down to Robinson Cano. There's no other way.
Baseball writes
those
scripts.
There's no other way for this season to end.
Bases loaded, two outs.
The only other
Robinson Cano
way. The only other way for it to end is for Edwin Diaz to blow a save, a one run save in game 162.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby? Don't you speak that into existence?
All right. Good news, bad news, no news. Coming up next here on Brock and Salk.
Good news,
yeah!
Bad news, no news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, let's get to the news. What do we got today, guys?
Good news, bad news, no news.
First-round pick Rashad Penny had successful hand surgery in Philadelphia. He should be ready by week one.
Yeah, I think Coach Carroll said it was beautiful. I think it went, the surgery went beautifully on that left, index finger, tip finger. So he'll be ready week one. That's all I need to know. Still bad news. But he will be available, and as I said, this is not something that should affect his conditioning. He should be able to get out here and run, probably not in the next few days, but he should be able to lift, he should be able to run, he should be able to be in condition and not lose too much ground. So in that way, good news, he'll be ready for week number one.
I'm going to say no news on this one. It's a, you know, it's early, it's a finger, it's not that big a deal. He's not going to miss any time in the regular season. And I'm not really counting on him right out of the blocks anyway. I think he's going to be more of a second half of the year weapon for the Seahawks. So I will call it no news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
After hitting a home run in five straight games, the Marlins drilled Braves rookie Ronald Acuna Jr. starting yesterday's game.
Yeah, dude, that's bad news, man. That's wrong. You know me. I have no issues with drilling guys and rushing people off the plate, but just drilling somebody before he even has a shot to do something special in a game, that does not feel like the right way to handle your business. And I know these are unwritten rules, and I know that somebody out there will probably say I'm being hypocritical, but that's the way unwritten rules work. You have to use some common sense. You got to use your head. You've got to decide when something's appropriate and when it's not. I think it would have been appropriate for the Mariners to drill Luis Valbuena in the back, low, earlier this year. I think that would have been an appropriate action against somebody who has not only hit well off you, but has acted kind of like a jerk in games against you. Hitting a guy for no reason just because he's having success so far this year, that doesn't make right. You want to back him off the plate? I'm with you. You drill him? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it's a bad look. You know, the Dodgers and the Giants with a little brouhaha, fun little rivalry. I get that. I understand that. This is the Marlins. Come on now. This is the Marlins and the Braves, and this is taking a shot on a rookie phenom. Now, I will say this, and I think I'm right on this. I read it somewhere in the paper, that this will not affect his streak officially, that his streak of hitting a home run in every game because he gets knocked out of it with his first at-bat, that the next game he comes back to, he can continue to add on to his phenomenal streak. Is that right? Does that sound right?
Yes, he will get to it.
That's good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Breaking news, Salk lasted less than 5 minutes on the ropes course at a team building event yesterday.
What?
I was up there about 5 minutes. That's about how long I needed.
What?
I got everything I needed out of it.
Because you were already so good at team building that you...
Well, the ropes course was not the team building portion. The team building came first. Then if you... The ropes course was the quote-unquote fun part.
Uh-huh.
But
it wasn't very fun for you.
No, so I took the zip line down. It was fun.
So, it's a very team thing to do.
Pridemore forwarded us a voicemail he got this morning from the ropes course.
I'd like to hear that, yeah.
Okay. Good morning. This is Derek from Adventurer Ropes Course. I'm just calling to follow up on one of your team members, a Mike Salk. I'm just looking here on our course report for your group, and I saw a note that Mike had an issue on the first platform. Typically, when we have somebody who exits that early on the course, we find that there are some deeper issues that tend to creep up in the following days if you don't address them. We do have counseling services available for Mike if he's feeling overwhelmed or is experiencing any sort of trauma or stress due to the ropes course. We also offer low ropes courses to get him back up on the horse. We put a bunch of ropes on the ground that he can walk on, and instead of a zip line at the end, he can go down a 5-foot-tall slide and still keep him harnessed in. A lot of people experience that kind of fear early on in the process, still need the harness. Anyhow, take care, and make sure to give Mike a lot of affirmation in the following days. I'm sure he's feeling a lot of embarrassment also to go along with his anxiousness and fear. So, do him a solid. All right, take care.
Are you done? Are you quite done back there?
Mike, I think you're a great man, and I think you're a talented individual.
Right.
Very smart and intelligent.
Thank you. You know what's, by the way, is a good idea is the low ropes course. I think, why do you need to be 50 feet up in the air? Let's walk on ropes on the ground and take a slide. That sounds significantly better than having to be 50 feet up in the air.
Because when you get up in that air, when the chips are down, that's when it all comes to light.
I don't know.
Your soul is bared when you're that high up
text message.
You're removed from comfort.
Sulk shut it down like Wendell on a walk.
That's where he gets it from.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks. No news. Let's move along. Thanks.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Legitimately, on the first platform, you bailed out on the high ropes course?
No, I went to the second platform.
Oh, number two.
I walked across the log.
Just like Wendell made it to like the point two.
Right.
Two
I walked across the log, and then I got on the, I did the zip line down, and then I was done.
Why, yeah. why did you bail? Like, why were you done?
Why do you think?
I think that you were very afraid. You got afraid and you said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to get out before I get embarrassed.
It wouldn't have been an embarrassment thing.
No.
You're half right.
Yeah, just fear.
I don't know. I can't think of anything I do wrong.
Yeah, I do this wrong. I am not great with heights. I don't like heights a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like stuff like that very much. But more than that, it was so hot and like there was such a pain. You have to like.
Whoa. I will not accept so hot from you, mister. I wanted 120 degrees.
No. I like it hot. That's not what I'm saying. First of all, I like to be in the air conditioning when it's hot, but that's a side note.
Oh, my God.
I love you.
You piece of work.
If we had just been on belay and you could just walk around, I would have done that.
Sure.
But anytime you wanted to go to a new platform, it was like a 5-minute process of like connecting carabiners and yelling out to other people. I was like, dude, I'm done. I'm getting off
this. It's a little bit too inconvenient to do it.
To reiterate, this was a team building exercise.
No, it wasn't. It was not a team building exercise.
Not
it was
this aspect.
Not?
No, not this aspect.
This part was not.
Okay.
No, this was not.
This was just an individual self-assessment.
It was all part of the team building
exercise. No, we did the team building exercise, and then Arlene and Tina and I built a team of people that didn't really want to be in the ropes course down at the bottom.
Okay.
We did a lot of team building that, Kyle, you weren't a part of.
That's right.
Because you were acting like some sort of ape up there on the ropes course.
I was traversing the canopy.
Ridiculous.
I love you, Mike. We're supposed to affirm you on a day where you're bearing your fears. Yeah. I love you.
Salk, the point of the ropes course is to bond with the team. No, it was very individual.
No, it was not.
The company sent you out there for an individual ropes course.
Because what team bonding was going on up there? You're just doing the ropes part.
That's right.
You just explained, that you had to ask your coworkers for help.
No, you didn't. You had to go through a process of, can I do this? Yes, I can do this. Can I do that? Yes, you
Mike,
can do that.
Mike, the excuse,
and then you
this
do
is
it.
A bad look.
Really?
You're just digging a
that
hole.
That thing
now.
Seemed like the biggest waste
At
of time
first,
in the world.
You were totally fine, but now you're just digging a
really?
Hole.
Really?
But Mike, I still love you. I just want you to know that.
There was no judgment passed until you started with the excuse.
I am so mad about this, I am not coming back for the final hour of the show. You guys can do the rest of the show without me, and we'll see just how well it goes. I'll see you later. This is terrible.
Bye.
Goodbye.